Hello, this is Mary Fitchner, and episode 2 of True Stories of Cowgirl Courage. And all of you know by now that I am passionate about stories and storytelling because I believe that stories change lives. And if we can share our stories and encourage anybody else to have courage to go on and to keep living and learning how other extraordinary women have overcome great adversity and challenges to continue to live their very best life. So that is what we're going to be doing on this podcast. And today I could not be more excited to be in Raton, New Mexico at Solano's Boot and Western Wear. And I have with me Mrs. Fabi Solano and Mrs. Sandy Solano. And they have owned this store for 65 years. I mean, that alone is an unbelievable accomplishment. And they have overcome a lot of things. So I just can't wait to hear about how their scars have offered gifts to them because they were willing to unwrap those scars and find a way to keep moving forward in a positive way. So I also want to add that my husband and I were in the store in April, and when I came in, I was so excited to see all the things they have in here. And they have the only hat cemetery I have ever seen, and I can't wait for them to tell you about that because the store has a ton of stories all of its own. So, but let's get started because I first want to have Mrs. Fabi tell you where she grew up, how old she is, how long she's been married, and maybe some important things from her growing up that she feels have made her into the woman that she is today.
Okay. My mom and dad lived in Solano Ranch, which is over by Tucumcari, that area there. And he passed away when I was 2 years old, so my mother moved back to where her family was from. And we were raised there, me, my brother, and my sister. And then Andy and I got married, I can't remember how many years ago.
65, 67?
It was...
You were married when you moved here in 56.
Oh, so yeah.
Alf is already born.
Must have been in 50. Yeah, 54, 55, around there.
That's 54. That's amazing when you've lost track of how many years you've been married. That is a good goal for all of us.
Thank you.
And tell us how old you are, Fabi.
I'm 85.
85, okay. And so can you remember anything that is that you feel is a big part of why you are the type of woman that you are?
I guess my mother had a lot to do with it. You know, she always encouraged us because she raised me and my brother and sister by herself after my dad passed away from appendicitis, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
His appendix ruptured. And anyway, and then he passed that on to us, too. My brother had to have a surgery for that, and then I had to have a surgery when I was about 13, 14 years old, I guess. But then Andy, we used to ride the school bus to Las Vegas high school together, and we got to know each other and I guess started dating, so we got married. And he was we lived in Las Vegas before we moved here. He was worked at the post office there in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and he had a brother here in Raton, and he worked for the railroad, and he worked for a shoe repairman. And he wrote us a letter, you know, Mr. Lovato wants to sell the business. Do you guys want to go into business with me? We were young. It was an adventure, you know, so we moved up here. And after she grew up and went to high school, we had bought the building, and that used to be, the first part used to be a drugstore. And then they closed it up, you know. So when they closed it up, I told Andy, let's open a retail business, you know. And our son, our oldest son, had gone to Albuquerque College, and then he found a job there. And he came to visit for Thanksgiving after I had started the business. And he liked what I did, I guess, so he stayed home. And left his job in Albuquerque and stayed home. And he did really good job in helping us expand, you know.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for that. And
I'd like to add, she was a Solano before she married a Solano. Oh, so yeah. She didn't have to change her name.
No way. That's awesome.
And our son went to Albuquerque, you know, to look at what relations, you know, we could have been, you know. And he said it had to be like 6 or 7 generations.
Wow, that's a great story. I love that. Because being from Wyoming, we have not very many people. And so we get accused a lot of everybody knows each other and probably distantly related. But it all works out really good. But I've never heard of that before. So that's a great part of the story. So, Sandy, I'd like to hear you tell us a little bit about how your parents raised you and what you feel like was the biggest thing that they did for you as your parents to have you become such an amazing woman today.
Gosh, so much to add, actually, in this small little town amount of time. Well, you know, being raised in a family business and having to come here, we couldn't come and just play. We had rules, regardless of being raised. My brother and I would walk. My middle brother would walk from school, and we would walk together here. When we got here, we'd be able to go down the street to get an ice cream cone or something to relax. But then we had to climb up on one of the rafters to do our homework. So he went to one side, I went to the other side. And when we were done with our homework, then we could come down and partake in the business. So that was pretty cool. You know, it was always fun to see the new clothes that came in and the new styles I got to try out first. So that was kind of cool. I say a little spoiled maybe because I kind of expected it every now and then. But it was really cool. Mom and Dad always taught us to be honest. You're never better than anybody else. Nobody's better than you. Wow. Patience. I didn't understand all of this until I got a little older. Mom watching her raise a family, come to work. It's just such an inspiration having her be able to handle all that and manage it. And then once, what was really amazing to me is my mom and dad being here every day working together and then leaving, clocking the door, then business stop, and then family carried on. There was not really any special treatment that you got because you were family. You still had to work hard, earn your money, which really taught me a lot. Also, customer service. They taught me how to treat people, to not take it, you know, it's not the sale that matters. It's how you treat your customer. It's making your customer happy. So when I came back after 25 years from the family business, and I thought, I'm never coming back to this small town. My brother in 1980, when I graduated, said, let's just make you a little place in the corner, call it Sandy's Corner. I'm like, no, I think I need to leave little small town and find out what the big town's all about. You know, worked for corporate America. I got customer service awards due to their way they, you know, so that really carried over. You know, they have respect for each other. They taught us that, you know, and family. Family is everything, you know, and you don't have to be blood to be family. So when I would come back, I'd see people calling them grandma and grandpa, and I'm like, okay, are they relatives? I know, I got a little like, you know, this is my mom and dad, and I'm not sharing, you know. But I've learned how much they mean a lot to this community, what they've done for this community, and my brother carrying it on and designing everything in this. It's just, you see him in the woodwork, and of course he's been passed and what brought me back. And he's been gone 17 years. And, you know, it's like you said, we've had triumphs and we've overcome them. It was tough. We thought about closing a certain part of the business. He decided, Ralph was such a businessman, and he learned that from my mom. They were very, and my dad too, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad bought the business with his GI Bill, and when I was younger, she got involved, and once I was in school full time, you know, it created this big business in 65 years. That's just amazing, especially with the economy. you know, up and down, up and down. Yes. They've seen a lot, especially now with the pandemic, you know, and everything. So word of mouth has been mostly how we've done our business. When my brother saw the business kind of going down, he knew that we needed to do something different. So he decided to have my nephew, his son, create the website because he was in computers and doing that. So in 2003, he didn't finish college and came here and created that. And when my brother passed in 2004, we kind of shut it down for a little while because I just came back. I was helping out. It was, you know, not sure how the business would be. And people were calling us, where is your website? We need to order, blah, 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 blah. So we talked and decided, let's try it, you know. And, yeah, here we are, you know, 17 years later, still going strong. Every year it gets better and better. Wow. And, you know, we have a motto, boots is our business, hats is our specialty, and we have everything else in between. And that's my mom and my brother creating that motto, you know. So there is a lot of history here with just them and me learning that and be able to carry it on, you know. That's, to me, is a blessing. And people are like, man, you've done a good job. I'm like, I didn't do all this. I'm just fortunate enough to be able to carry it on. You know, it's sentimental.
Oh, my gosh, Sandy, that just blessed me so much to hear so many things that you said. One of them, I think, what an amazing lesson to teach your kids that you're not better than anybody else. That's, wow, that really struck me. Amazing, no wonder. And also that family is everything. And I love your customer service, what you taught, because that's really the same motto, honestly. And that you have, what did you say, boots and hats and everything in between. That's just, you guys are remarkable, honestly. I love it so much. And now I want to get to one of the biggest tragedies I think your family has been through is losing your brother and your son. And I know that he left an amazing thing, though, which we call your hat cemetery. And it's amazing to me. And Fabi, I know you probably don't remember my husband and I, but you told us a little bit about it when we were here in April. And I really want you to talk about that now and how your son started that. And then maybe one of you can share one of your favorite hat stories that you have in the store. So will you tell us, Fabi, how your son kind of started that and where it's gone?
A gentleman came in and bought a hat, and it had a real unusual shape on it, so he asked my son to throw it away. My son told him, okay, you know. But after a while, he thought about it. He says, it's so funny looking that I better hang it somewhere, you know. So he started hanging in that wheel.
We had a wagon in here.
The wagon wheel.
Sitting
over there. Mm-hmm. And then when people bought hats and they'd see that, how come that's there, you know? Well, somebody gave it to us, and I think it looks pretty neat, so I decided, well, you can take mine. And they started, so he had to go to the, put in the wagon wheel, and then had to go to the wall. And it's really neat because people come to see their grandpas or their dads, you know, and we know where it is because the hat is because we have a book and we have a listing and where it, you know, a number on it where we can see, you know, the hat sitting at. So, and we have what, 400 of them?
About 394. And we have some that have lost their, some have lost their name, so we have unknown, unfortunately. We have even started in the second section. We're probably going to have to try to make more room when we get more. We have some really special hats of people who are locals. They're Northern New Mexico, Southern Colorado ranchers and farmers. And we're trying to do a book, If These Hats Could Talk. And that was my mom and my brother's idea. We only have 21. We might want to do volumes. We wanted to do 100 and take pictures of the hats and the story in the book. But, you know, as time goes on and people have passed away, family are now having to write their story, which is great. But, you know, we want to get some of these stories out because they're really awesome. But people have come and they want to buy those hats. And we're like, no way. That's the cowboy duty, you know, to sell their own hat or give it away. I will not. If we do, we'll either get lynched if they're alive, and if they're dead, we'll get haunted, and we don't need that. But one story I'll tell you real quick is a family came in, and a man said his dad passed away, and could he take the hat? And, you know, we understood as a family. We talked and said, sure. So we wrote down his name and the date and who took it. And 3 months later, a family comes in asking for the hat. So as my mom said, we have a log, and we looked, and we said, so-and-so took it on so-and-so date. So that's how special these hats are to the family. And we knew maybe a family feud started because the man didn't know his brother took his hat. But they came in later, and everything worked out because we made sure. So now when we do that, we need to make sure everybody in the family is okay with it, which sounds kind of silly, but it's true. They're sentimental, and cowboy's hat and boots you do not mess with. I learned that the hard way.
Boy, you and me both. I know I learned when I was in high school, I rodeoed, and I remember one time messing around. I was going to throw this friend of mine's hat on the bed, and he said, oh, no, that takes all the luck out. So there's so much power in a cowboy hat. It's everything, and I absolutely love this idea that you guys came up with and the stories of the hats and the hat cemetery, and they're just so representative of so much. That head that was underneath that hat and everything that those hats saw and everything that has happened in their life. I mean, it's amazing. No, I think when you're not part of this culture, you don't understand that. But cowboy hats, everything. And gosh, you guys, I just can't say enough how much I love this hat cemetery thing. It's just amazing to me. Fabi, do you have a story that you can think of that's your favorite about one of the hats or something that happened with a hat?
No, not really.
No. They were all probably amazing stories and different memories.
Stories that they've written, I haven't ever read those letters.
They've been here for a while, so we've got some just typed out and stuff.
Oh, okay, awesome. Okay, would you want to read one of those, Sandy? I would love that. Yeah, pick one, pick your favorite, and I just want to give everybody a little example of something.
Some of them are kind of long, so I thought I'd pick something that was a little short.
Yeah.
So this is a gentleman by the name of Bob Cates, and he types, as you look at all these old hats that hang on the wall at Solano's, some of you would think, if these old hats could talk, what a story they could tell. Well, I've been this old black hat. We'll tell you how it was I got to be a part of Bob Cates. I became Bob Cates' black hat because of a bet that Bob and his son Don had. The bet was over a head count of a herd of cattle, and Don got to pay off. The years that I was Bob's black hat, I learned quite a bit about him. One thing was when he would say, I'll bet my black hat, and I always felt pretty good because he never lost. There were a few times, I'm glad he never bet. When Bob put a hat on, he meant for it to stay. This was one time he spent some time in Chateauk Hospital, and he kept me the whole time, even when he slept. However, there was a time when shipping cattle, he lost his hat during a wild horse race downtown Englewood, Kansas. Folks still talk about that today. There was the time Bob was taking a wooden whiskey barrel hoop off a cow's head in Carl Canyon. That was a wreck. I was in it, and what happened, and how, I don't believe it. If Bob wants to tell you, he might someday, but I don't think he believes it either. The skull of that cow with the scars on its horn hung on the wall at Beaver River Saddle Shop today. Bob's dad, Alvin, recognized that Bob was not going to be a very good farmer. So he's okayed for Bob to go to New Mexico to start his own cowboy life on the Pecos River east of Roswell. That's where he learned some of the cowboy ways. For instance, if you're going to pen a cow, pen her. Cattle will work. You can drive them or hold them if they are made to. Your cowboys will understand what Bob's talking about. Well, there Bob learned how important a black hat was and how it could be used. Like the first day with the real cowboys, it was used to dip water from a pond to get a drink. It was also used to fan fires so the coffee would hurry and boil. And for many years, a good luck charm. Just like Bob Crosby, Bob wrote a poem about one of his hats that was something like, "Dang, I forgot. It's been too long, I guess." But in the poem, he tells of fanning bronx and wild cows. He even tells of pinning a bad, bad bull with it. Then, about it being worn to Toots Mansfield Roping School and Sid Vale's famous three-bar brand. He wrote about how he met Eddie and J.R. Atkins, Charm and Sis, and by the way, they got hitched. After Bob and Miss Jimmy got hitched, life was some different then. Bob had expected, but he had met his true love and made the change. Two boys were born to Bob and Miss Jimmy. Oh boy. Well, died in an accident. Will died in an accident, and Bob is still blessed with Don. Don's worn the hats with two boys, and that makes Bob proud of him and his family. Bob worked with and for Jay Rippey, the branded the box tee, which was a brand you could see and read. It was just five stamps with a bar. The box tee was branded on cattle in Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado. Bob is thankful for his pioneer heritage that came to the Oklahoma Panhandle in 1900 to 1902 and knows his life will still carry on with his sons, Don and his grandson, Callie. I'm proud to be hanging alongside Don and Callie with three generations of black hats. Hope I haven't taken up too much of your time, but I have enjoyed reminiscing with you fine folks. If you get a chance, drop by and talk to Bob. We have lots more stories to tell. So, hasta la vista, and may your horses stay sound.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That blessed me, like, big time. That guy is a great writer. Well, I'm going to have to take a picture. Do you have that hat still in here? Okay, we will find that hat for you guys, and I'll get a picture up of that. That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. And if that doesn't show you the meaning of a cowboy's hat, then I don't know. Wow, you guys have got to come see this place. It's just amazing. So I almost forgot, but Fabi, I want you to share if you can think of what the very best advice is for staying married 67 ish, since we're not really sure, a really long time amount of years, because I think you have a lot of people beat in this world. So can you share us your biggest secret to success?
Well, people used to tell me, you know, when we first started, that husband and wife should not work together because they, right. You know, they get angry and we've never done that.
That's awesome.
They just have respect for each other is why they've, you know, lasted so long. They have business savvy. They talk about the business together. You know, they just let each other be each other and respect is what I've seen watching them.
It's like two separate business because he takes care of that one and I take care of this one, you know.
Yes, that's remarkable, though. And I think you're probably right. It's just respect and being kind and understanding and not probably not blaming.
But they still want to be here at 89 and 85 is amazing.
That's amazing. That's probably one of the most amazing parts of this story, honestly. That's just incredible. Well, I think that I just really want to thank you guys both. This has been so much fun, and I'm just so excited because you actually shared so much with me from your heart, I could tell, and your family. And I know you've been through so much, and I want you to talk about, this is probably the most important part, is I know a lot of times when people go through tragedies, they kind of let it ruin their lives. They maybe don't understand they're doing that or maybe they don't know a way forward, but it seems like you guys have, it doesn't seem like, I know that you have chosen a different road in losing your son and your brother, and that's really one of the hugest tragedies we can go through as people. And so can you each share what you think you've done to be able to walk through this and still live a positive life and have good things come out of it? Do you want to start, Fabi?
Well, you know, it happened and it hurts, you know, and all that stuff. But you know that there must have been something that he life wasn't meaningful for him, you know, and he decided to go to a better place.
Very good. Okay, and Sandy, let's hear from you.
You know, I've seen a little bit of both sides, you know, seeing my parents go through that and then losing a brother who was very dear to me. I always thought he was like James Dean, you know, he was like so cool in every way. I mean, the man taught himself like 5 different languages. He's very intelligent. So, you know, he left and still has left such a big legacy behind. He would have wanted us to carry on. And we are very Christian Catholic people. You know, God has a plan, and faith and trusting and support. You know, everybody handles death in different ways. You know, you have to let them handle it in their way and talk about it. Being in a family business, it was difficult because people would come up and say, oh my gosh, it must be so very hard for you. You know, my nephew, you look so much like him. It must be so hard for you. People mean well, but they don't know until they go through it. And, you know, if people want to ask what happened, it's like, you know, it's too difficult to talk about. So everybody gave us our space, which was great. That was important. A lot of support in the community. This is a great town. They support every way. Come in, they would give books, hugs, whatever, you know, phone call. Even to this day, my mother gets a phone call from one of my brother's dear friends and my mom's dear friend too, you know, on his birthday and the day he passed, just to say, I love you. And that's what's made us strong, you know, having the support and having the family and knowing that, you know, Ralph would have wanted us to carry on. He wouldn't want us to let go and to not give this legacy up. You know, so that was made us stronger. And the faith of God. God's been a big picture of all this.
Wow. I can't add a single thing to that.
I praise my mother and father for teaching me those values, you know, because that is a blessing. And that man over there who's walking, Papa. Dad. Dad. He can't hear, sorry.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to have to get a picture with him, too, if he'll allow. And, oh, my gosh, you guys' family is just so precious to me now. And, wow.
The same way, my family is very blessed, very precious, so thank you.
Yes, and I just, again, you know, so many powerful things you've said, but the fact that you know that he would how he would want you to live, that's the choice that you make, so... Thank you, guys.
One other thing I'd like to add is after my brother passed, 2 weeks later, his youngest son passed away too. So mom and dad have really been an inspiration on how strong they are. So that's what's made me strong too. So, you know, like I said, there's a plan. God has a plan. You just have to be patient. It's been 17 years. The pain is still there. You just learn to tolerate as days go on. The pain will always be there. But they're here. I believe he's here. He comes in spirit. You know, we hear songs. So that's relieving, and that's a blessing, too. Find those things that are still there of your loved one that's been lost.
Wow, wow, Sandy. So much wisdom in what you've shared, and that's, wow, you're making my goal very reachable here to share so much wisdom and courage and strength and stories. Oh, my gosh, the hats. I just...
They're amazing. That's just one of them. And some of them are 5-7 pages long, and that's just, whoa. I mean, a lot of history is just phenomenal. And people don't, I didn't really care about that growing up, you know. I had to move away and go to corporate America and the rat race of life to figure out, I love my little small town, and that's not a bad thing to live and not a bad place to be.
Yeah, you figure out what matters. Yeah. Does your brother have a hat in the store? Well, we're going to have to definitely get a picture of your brother's hats, too.
He could shape any hat for anybody. He actually took about 4 hours on one that he called The Last of the Mohican, and I've got pictures of those, and they were fabulous. He was excellent.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're at both, you know, fitting hats and doing what the customer wants to be done on the hat. So
I was able to take the trade over, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it, is definitely turning it into what the customer's vision of it is. Exactly. That's not easy. So, because we have...
Really?
The customer is always right. I know. Oh, Sandy, you just don't quit, do you? I love all your stuff. I just love this. I could just keep talking forever about all your hats and your story and your courage. And
not only that, I just saw an employee walk in. We've been blessed with all our employees. You know, my dad back there repairing boots, and you've got Marianne, who's been taking over the tack and the leather work. And Sandy's been here for 30-plus years. And, you know, people who used to work here come back and shop. And we've been very blessed. So it's not just us. It's the people who are responding to us as well. So we have to give them credit, too, for keeping us in business.
Gosh, well, when you feel blessed, you just get blessings. And when you're grateful, life turns out a lot better. That's for very sure. So, gosh, I just can't thank you guys enough for being willing to share your story with the world. And I really, really hope that any of you listening that are ever in Raton, New Mexico, you must come in and see this amazing store and their boots and hats and their hat cemetery. And I know you'll get a story or two out of them, and you'll find some hat that just touches your heart. And maybe you'll feel inspired to leave your hat and your story and get a new one. That would just be amazing. So I just can't thank you guys enough, really and truly. And please visit their website, solanoswesternwear.com, right? Yes, thank you. And I just want to close with saying that stories are life, and I hope that you guys will listen. And if one person gets courage and bravery to continue through trials, then this has all been worth it. My daughter and I have a children's book series. We have 11 different books, and I write them, and my daughter illustrates them. And I'm leaving them with one of our favorites today, The Heart of a Cowgirl. It's based on Proverbs 31 and how the cowgirl lives her life and the choices she makes. So please check out our website too, rescuefrombermuda.com, and remember to read for the brand. So this is Mary Fitchner signing off. Thank you for listening, and remember to live each day with her.